for 25 years. Nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up this week on a Loaded Course of Life podcast, we're breaking down the golf argument of the century between Trump and Biden. In Detroit, a crazy winter for myself, LPGA headlines that'll have you scratching your head, and an unbelievable achievement at the U.S. Senior Open. Plus, this week's guest from 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston, Tim McCone, talking Boston sports radio, golf, Patriots, and much more. We're recapping Mike's trip to Dollywood. We've got an alma mater update, Bronny James to the Lakers, and when we always end with food, a new sports bar, and again, Mike's fun-filled food weekend in and near Dollywood. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. DesertFoxGolf.com is the site. Promo code is Course of Life. Check through the site. Get yourself some phone caddies, get yourself some DJ10 speakers, and get yourself some amazing Swing 8 tumblers coming in all customized varieties. They can say or look however you want them to say or look, or whatever you want them to say or look. Desert Fox is all about customization for your golf game and your golf accessories. So again, check out their websites and customize whatever you'd like at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was an interesting week in the world of golf, I think is a nice way to put it, maybe, in terms of the team event of the LPGA, the delayed finish to the senior Open, Newport Country Club, the Rock and Mortgage Classic having a playoff.
A little
but
of everything,
I think,
yeah.
The oddest headline from the week was how golf became maybe one of the most memorable moments from Thursday night's presidential debate.
Right, yeah. We have a pop politics segment that we're kind of bringing back from the grave here, where somehow the golf world and the sports world that you and I love always seems to get mixed up in the craziest ways with politics. I did not expect the potential candidates for leaders of the free world and president of the United States to be arguing over their golf games. But here we are in 2024, Mike, leading our podcast with an argument over Donald Trump and President Biden on the golf course.
Yeah. It was a wide ranging debate in general with everything that went on from, well, we don't need to get into the minutiae, but yeah. So Trump saying that he's won all these club championships, which we know he probably has fudged in his favor.
Remember the Rick Riley book that we read about Donald Trump on the course, and specifically how those club championship gets won. So anyone who heard that sentence right off the bat when Trump said he'd won two club championships immediately snickered like Joe Biden did. So there's a big asterisk there. But then unfortunately on the other end, Mike, Joe Biden referencing that he is or was a 6 handicap. I can tell you for certain, I've seen his swing. He's not a 6 handicap right now. He may have been about 15 years ago when he claimed to be as a vice president under President Obama. So basically, two old men exchanging lies about their golf games on the biggest stage politically we've ever seen.
This isn't a measuring contest. But if it was, Trump seems to think he would win in the driving realm.
Yes, which I do agree with. That one I unanimously agree with. I do think Donald Trump hits a longer ball than Joe Biden. However, Trump exaggerated a little too far. People who don't play the game might think it's a real statement when Donald Trump says he doesn't think Joe Biden can hit the ball 50 yards, Mike. I know Joe Biden's game might be on the descent, on the course, but 50 yards is not a large achievement. He absolutely can still hit the ball 50 yards. I'm not sure how much further beyond that. But the barbs were being traded, and golf was thrown right into the mix of this presidential debate and campaign. So we'll see if there's any more golf headlines to come in the weeks and months ahead. Something tells me that this isn't the last we're going to hear of golf headlines between these two in the months ahead.
I mean, I'm just waiting for Trump or Biden. It probably actually would be Biden to challenge the other to a round.
The match on TNT with Charles Barkley on the call.
Who's teaming up with who? Which pro teams up with Biden and which pro teams up with Trump?
Right. That's right. I think, man, geez, who would pair with Biden? I don't know. I have to think about that. But submit your comment or send us a message at COL Podcast on Instagram with who would join that 2-on-2 match if they were going to partner up. But yes, Trump, Biden, golf games, all the rage in the world this week.
There were some professional golfers who can play much better than both of these men combined playing this week. Let's start on the PGA Tour. They were at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Ricky Fowler defending. He didn't contend, unfortunately.
No, he didn't. Lingered and wore orange on Sunday, but a decent defense showed up a bit on the weekend. But the shocker of all this, Mike, is me being the coldest picker of PGA Tour winners in the world in 2024 and finally getting a gigantic winner out of nowhere, picking Cam Davis past Rocket Mortgage Classic champion to win at 80-1 odds this past week, Mike. Only my second win of 2024, but it was a doozy of a winner.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask the question, and I hate asking these questions, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did Cam Davis win or did Bhatia lose?
Yeah, I mean, it was what, 5 feet something, 6 feet at the last?
His only miss within 5 feet all week.
Oh, God. And he just keeps knocking on the door. I know he got it done at the Texas Open earlier this year, but it just kind of feels like Akshay Bhatia should have won more than once already. Yeah. As crazy as it is in 2024. He's been knocking on the door so many times, and it does feel like he let one slip. But Cam Davis, like I said, he's won this tournament before. He knows how to put himself in position to win here. And he did it yet again with an impressive weekend charge. So shout out to the Aussie, Cam Davis, for getting it done and getting me my second winner of the year as well.
Got to shout out some past podcast guests because several were in the field this week. Let's start with Taylor Montgomery, who was at the top of the leaderboard through the first couple days, but then unfortunately put up a 77 on Saturday and fell back to a tie for 44th at the end of the week. Still, he had a great showing early. Also, Nate Lashley was top 25. He finished a ton under par.
5 year anniversary of him winning this tournament and then being immediately on the Course of Life podcast right after he went on the Today Show, Mike. Never forget
crazy,
that.
Crazy. And then Dylan Wu, top 10 finish for Dylan
Wu. Let's go. This was a long time coming. I know Dylan's had a tough go at it the last few months, but things starting to come around, found some form on a course he likes. Nice Midwestern style, old school country club vibe, maybe suited the golf that Dylan's used to seeing in Illinois. So hopefully that leads to more. We got the John Deere coming up, another course he kind of likes pretty well. We're heading into that summer slate, maybe something at the 3M Championship for Dylan in a few weeks. So hopefully he can make a nice summer run and secure more status for the years ahead.
That's right. It's the TPC Deer Run for the John Deere. Then we got the Genesis Scottish Open and then the Open Championship right afterwards. So nice little lead up to the final major championship of the season at Royal Troon. The LPGA had their two-person team event at the Dow Championship, being won by first team pairing for Ryoning Yin and I said her name correctly before we recorded.
Yep, you did.
Fitikul.
When the lights are on, Mike, it's a little more difficult. Yeah, all right.
It's nice correction.
Yeah. And we're getting good at that name, Ataya Fitikul, because we're seeing her on a lot more leaderboards. And this is another W for her in the team format. And I love that the LPGA does this. Just wanted to give that its attention and flowers at a really nice course in Michigan. So it was awesome to see them break through. And then the other crazy LPGA headline that came from Nelly Korda on her Instagram this past week, Mike, just hanging out in Seattle off week. Nelly Korda had a dog bite injury. She won't say where. I'm guessing maybe somewhere on her hand, wrist, or arm that has her withdrawn from this upcoming week's LET event overseas. So interesting little headline there for Nelly Korda. So we'll see what the next update is on her dog bite injury.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. She'll take that week off. And then, of course, the week after is the Evian Championship.
That's a big one.
Yep. So she probably, get that rest and make sure she's all healed up for that major as it comes up here. Because she's got a rebound. She started so strong, and now it's like, where'd she go?
Just wanted to keep it going. Yeah,
we do indeed. The U.S. Senior Open was this weekend as well. The U.S. Senior Open at Newport Country Club. A lot of weather in the way for them. They ended up having a Monday morning finish. And it looked like through the weekend that it was going to be Hiroyuki Fujita who was going to kind of just cruise to the victory.
Yeah.
But LIV golfer Richard Bland had other plans in place. They ended up going to a four-hole playoff.
Love that. Four-hole playoff.
Richard Bland, another major championship win.
Two major championships. And then I watched him win the team competition at LIV Golf Houston in the last month. That's a good little 30-day run for Richard Bland right there. Two majors and a LIV Golf team win. That the bank account is looking great for Mr. Bland at age 50 right now.
He's not winning anything on these senior circuit events because he's not a member of the tour.
crazy that he's now got two locked up this year already. He just keeps pronouncing himself as one of the best 50 and over players indeed. So shout out Richard Bland getting it done on an awesome golf course that I once went to for a U.S. Women's Open back in the day, that Newport Country Club. Mm-hmm. Google some pictures if you want to see a beautiful course right on the water. And some awesome scenery there this past week.
So that was one on the professional side of the world. I played some golf this week for the first time all season. It took me 6-7 months here.
Did you have back-to-back hole-in-ones like Frank Benzel did at Newport Country Club?
I did not have back-to-back hole-in-ones. Okay. Right. That would have been, I came nowhere close to a hole-in-one. I didn't even come close to a birdie. Sad. But that's okay.
How was the course out there anyway?
So I was in Kentucky at Lake Barkley State Resort Park.
Sounds nice.
About an hour and a half northwest of Nashville, right over the Kentucky line, for a family reunion with my wife's side of the family. And we did a round with myself, my father-in-law, and his oldest brother at Boots Randolph Golf Club, which is the official course in the park. Gorgeous course. It was in great shape. Really
open
fast,
tree line. What was it like?
So it was the front nine was a little more tree line than the back nine. And some of those tee shots on the front, the fairway was open, but you had trees that were in your tee shot. So you had to really kind of hit your tee shot in the right spot because otherwise you were going to go through these low hanging branches and really kind of get in the way.
Yeah, so, I haven't played golf in Tennessee yet. Interesting.
Yeah, well, Kentucky. We were in Kentucky.
Okay.
Course was just gorgeous. It was a really fun course to play. Really, you have to be really precise. Their tee positions on a Saturday morning were like Sunday pin positions at a major. They were just a couple paces off the edges. I shot 100. Very good for my first time out this year. I think technically, I don't remember if I got out last year at all after Ireland. And first round with the new clubs. And with the handicap that I was given, I won money off of both of these guys.
Nice. Always good to leave the day with some crispy ones there. Love that.
Yep. It was good.
Good stuff. Awesome. That's year round. Our golf content is found here and also on our YouTube page as well. New videos weekly to the channel. This week we'll have my recap of my Live Golf Houston trip that I mentioned that Richard Bland was a winner at. The music was as loud and even louder than I imagined. So I documented exactly, dispelling the myths, basically going through what people think live events are like. We're going through item by item to see what the experience was really like. So again, follow us on YouTube at Course of Life Podcast for all that golf content there as well.
Let's do a little Tuned In where we talk about other things outside of the world of golf that we're watching. Like I said, I was busy all week. I was traveling. We'll talk about the food I ate and my time in Dollywood at the end. But Alex, I know you're watching what I think a lot of people are watching, which is The Bear. Is that right, Chef?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, Chef. Season 3 of The Bear, FX series, turn streaming, watching on Hulu right now, about halfway through season 3. And Mike, I love the show. You and me, you know, we understand the life in the service industry. We've been in the service industry. We know what it's like in a kitchen actively on a day by day basis. So we can see and feel the emotion that comes through each episode of The Bear. That being said, they're getting a little too big for their britches right now in season 3. It's very artsy. They're going for very lengthy, interspersed, unrecognizable, uninterrupted dialogue. They're really, quote unquote, literally in the weeds of what life is like back in the kitchen. I'm enjoying season 3 so far, but you can tell they're getting very artsy. They're trying kind of new episode stylings and script stylings. So we'll see what the rest of the season looks like. That's my early review about halfway through season 3.
All right, there you go. All right, let's get to this week's guest. We're headed back to Boston, home of the world champion Boston Celtics.
That's right.
And because you had a chat with another one of the voices of sports radio there at 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, Tim McCone.
That's right. The new third chair on Zolak and Bertrand. That's the midday talk show on 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. We previously had Hardy on a few years ago, a golfer in his own right. Hardy's moved up and on, but within the station to the morning show. So Tim has taken his spot. He's got an interesting backstory to how he got into that position. And we talk a little bit about the current landscape in Boston sports, both for the Patriots and the golf landscape upcoming this summer and in the years to come as well with Tim McCone. Next up on the tee from Worcester, Mass, he's the newest midday co-host at 98.5, the Sports Hub, alongside Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand. It's Tim McCone joining us on the Course of Life. Tim, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me, Alex. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm tuned in on the app where I am now in Austin, Texas. As the saying goes with the show, the stream wins again. So I get the full uncensored version of your daily chaos at 98.5.
Yeah, you get an unfiltered version for sure. No question about it. A lot of stuff that probably does not sneak through for radio listeners. So, yeah, that's certainly an interesting place. And Austin has a near and dear to my heart. My UConn Huskies won their first of the back-to-back championships in Houston. And we spent some time in Austin when we went down for that. So that's a great spot to be.
Awesome. Yeah, UConn absolutely crushing it right now, back to back. It sounds like you're keeping Dan Hurley as well. So it's exciting times to be a Huskies fan, as it always is. I mean, you guys are in the mix pretty much every few years for the last 2-3 decades now.
Yeah, no, all is good in Husky land, no question.
Nice. You get the Connecticut connection. And there's also a little bit of a Rhode Island connection with some past guests we've had on in Mark Dondero, your coworker at 98.5, and WHDH's Maury Hirschgordon as well. It's a little bit of that earning your chops Rhode Island to Boston call-up thing I'm noticing. But what's that sports anchor experience? Was it like for you working at WJAR and being in the Rhode Island market and kind of learning the Boston sports scene through there?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, look, it's pretty unbelievable when I look back at the people that I worked with, and certainly I consider a lot of those guys kind of coworkers, even though we worked at different stations because we were at all these major events together. But when you look at the people that we were with, Mark Dondero, like you mentioned, at 98.5 as well, Maury, now the lead sports anchor at Channel 7 in Boston, and, you know, Ruthie Polinsky crushing it in Chicago as well. So it's pretty wild to see where everyone's at, and even the people that are still in Providence. Frank Carpano, still at JAR, is obviously a Providence legend, and my guys Nick Coit and Ian Steele at Channel 6 as well, continuing to do their thing. And I'll tell you what, if you're a sports fan and you really want to get into this business, like Providence is an awesome, awesome market to work in because you've got all the Boston teams that you get to cover. You obviously cover the Patriots a lot as well. And then you also get big time college basketball with both PC, URI, and even Bryant making the tournament a couple of years ago as well. So it's just been a really cool kind of experience to kind of grow throughout our careers together and see where everyone's at and kind of thriving. And certainly Providence holds a near and dear place in my heart.
Yeah, you've taken some awesome steps in your broadcasting career, specifically with both TV and now radio as well. I progressively started hearing your voice a little bit more often on 98.5, the Sports Hub, one of the leading sports talk radio stations, not only in Boston, but in the country. But tell me a little bit about what the process was like of you getting that third chair spot now regularly alongside Zolak and Bertrand. Was that, you know, a team decision? Was there a re-audition process? I'm curious how that all came about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Like, look, I've been now at 98.5, believe it or not, for 10 years. Matt McCarthy kind of came in together. And doing a bunch of fill-in stuff. And it started really just doing weekend headlines. And then slowly, like you mentioned, kind of progressing and doing a bunch of fill-in stuff at night. And then all of a sudden, a lot of fill-in stuff throughout different day parts as well. And like you mentioned, when Hardy went to mornings, that third chair on middays opened up. And for the last few months and really starting in January through March, it's kind of been a revolving door with that third chair and just kind of getting different reps. And ultimately, they thought I was a good fit on the show, brought me in. And it's been about a month now with those guys and couldn't be happier. And to be honest with you, too, I think for me personally, that show is a really good fit. Like I mentioned, like me and Matt McCarthy came in together. And I think, you know, when I look at McCarthy, I think if the third chair had opened up on a Felger and Maz, for instance, I think McCarthy probably makes more sense there as well. I just think this was kind of a good fit for me because it's a lighter show. You know, we talk sports a lot, but a lot of it also is kind of going off the rails a little bit with Zoe and those guys too. And that's really what I think makes it fun. And again, kind of why I think it's been a good fit for me so far and then hopefully continue to grow and certainly fill some big shoes that Hardy has left. No question about it. But it's been good so far.
Yeah. We love Hardy. We had him on the show a few years ago, big golf guy in his own right as well too. So good to see him move to awesome things as well as his next step. Unfortunately your new coworkers couldn't do without hazing you right off the bat. They had to bring up that Roger Williams tape for you one more time. I'm sorry to say, McCone, that's now on the 98.5 YouTube page. So that clip might just live forever. Unfortunately.
I got to tell you, it's been like kind of like under the surface, and I didn't even know anyone at 98.5 knew about it. I know being at Channel 10, you know, a lot of times we would have interns come in and we would have them kind of do a sports cast at the end of their internship, and we'd kind of re-rack the six and give them sort of a taste of what it was like to anchor their own newscast, right, and anchor their own sports cast. And you know, a lot of times they'd come off and be, man, that's a lot harder than what I thought it was. And I'm never going to be able to do it. And I would pull that clip up, Alex, and show them and be like, hey, look, if this is where I was when I was your age, you can get to this point. I'm telling you. And in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, it's a good learning tool, but I also have to get this deleted off of YouTube. We can't have this out here and floating around the internet. And yeah, sure enough, fast forward a few years and somehow Zoe and Beetle found it and, yeah, they did not. They did not hold back. No question. No question.
Well, the clip lives forever, but you got the job in exchange. So I guess we'll take the trade.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Glass half full. There, I like that. I like that. Publicly embarrassed on one of the biggest radio stations in the country, but you get a full time job out of it. So I'll take it. I'll take it.
Love it. It's Tim McCone 4 on Instagram. If you want to follow along, obviously with 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. If you're just from outside Boston, you want to hear some awesome sports talk radio from a heartbeat city like the one I grew up in. McCone is the guy to listen to. You're actually a Worcester guy and have a lot of Worcester connections. I grew up going to Pawtucket Red Sox games. They made that move to become the Woo Sox in Worcester. I'm curious, what's that experience now like a few years in with Polar Park and then the Worcester Red Sox as the minor league affiliate?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Worcester's kind of no stranger to sort of what Pawtucket's going through. We've had a couple different AHL teams. When I was growing up, it was the Worcester Ice Cats, and they were the Blues affiliate, and then they ultimately leave. And then we had the Sharks for a while as well. And then ultimately San Jose wanted them closer. So they moved out. So certainly it's disappointing if you are a Pawtucket fan, but for the city of Worcester, I mean, it's been great for sports fans in the park. I don't know if you've had, if you're emotionally ready to visit it or not yet at this point, but it is it's an awesome take if you're a sports fan around here. And it's been really cool for the city and kind of see it sort of be the linchpin in terms of revitalizing that Kelly Square area there too, as well has been pretty cool. So down there a fair amount. And like you mentioned, I grew up in Worcester and then, you know, ultimately started my career in Worcester as well. I was doing intermission reports for the Worcester Sharks. Nice. It's probably part of the reason that they moved out after hearing me for a season.
Yep,
they
were like, about right.
Yeah, we got to get this. we got to find someone better. And now to see kind of, minor league sports back in Worcester and thriving is pretty cool. No question.
That's a bit of my renaissance as a sports fan attending professional games now, as I'm finding a lot of joy in different minor league baseball stadiums around the country. I go to the Round Rock Express here in Texas and see future Rangers, and I'm heading to a minor league stadium in Wisconsin in a few weeks. So it's a nice untapped and budget-friendly way to enjoy sports these day and age for sure.
No, it's cool. I mean, like Jackson Holiday was in Worcester like a week and a half ago, right? And so we were like, oh, that's pretty cool. And just walked down and got a ticket for like $8. And then you get to see Jackson Holiday. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Very cool. One other thing I wanted to touch on, obviously got to talk a little Patriots with you. I've been bleeding Patriots my entire life. And admittedly, I'm a big college football betting guy. All last season, McCone, I was making money betting against North Carolina because I was just so out on everything Drake May. Lo and behold, we draft him as the next franchise quarterback. Where do you sit on Drake May, the reaction to the pick, and kind of what we've seen for at least the first few months of his Patriots era?
It's going to be interesting. You know, I'm kind of with you. I went back and forth about whether or not to sit there and take the quarterback at three. Ultimately, I talked myself into the pick and believing that you kind of have to shoot your shot. And, you know, in terms of rebooting the franchise, getting that franchise quarterback certainly is the easiest way to go about doing it. So I talked myself into the pick. Now, in terms of moving forward, I think sort of we've gone over the schedule before. Zoe wants him to start like day one. He's like, if you're the number three pick, get in there and play.
And now I think a full team Jacoby Brissett for a month or two, maybe.
So that's where Bertrand's week nine, and I'm kind of with you in terms of letting him sit for the first few weeks. I think like maybe week six is probably the right play. I also though wonder, and you know, you look at young quarterbacks and if you're going to be a franchise guy, I don't know if you can necessarily get ruined as a rookie, you know, and I kind of go back and I look at guys like a Peyton Manning or Josh Allen, or, you know, Zoe kind of throws out Troy Aikman as well. Like guys that got absolutely crushed or really struggled as rookies and figured it out because ultimately they're a franchise quarterback. And so if you are going to be that guy, can you actually get ruined as a young quarterback? I don't know. Now, you want to put that kid in the best position possible to be successful. And if he doesn't have a left tackle, that's not a great start. And if he doesn't have wide receivers, that's definitely not a great start. And that's sort of where the Patriots come down. But I do think he should play sooner than later. And let's kind of see. Let's see what the deal is and let's see what Drake has.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's going to be fun to kind of watch the ticking time bomb to see when the calls for him to come off the sidelines are, whether they're in July, August, or in the fall.
It's been 2 years of brutal watching of the Patriots. And so I don't know if I can handle a lot of Jacoby Brissett, because I know what that looks like, and it looks a lot like the last 2 years. So I wouldn't mind a quarterback that has some excitement.
Yeah, and we're those diehards down here. Me and my buddy, who's also from the Boston area, where we got to find these games at a market, McCone. Sometimes we're heading to bars to watch those monstrosities of a Sunday performances last season. So it was a long year, to say the least, for us too.
It was a tractor pull, no question.
Talking golf a little bit for a moment. I know you play a bit, and I saw you had an opportunity to play recently for a really great cause as well with the station. Is that right?
Yeah, Who's Your Caddy Classic. Maz has put it on forever, and so got to go out there. And embarrassed myself with McCarthy, and played with a couple of guys from the Special Olympics. Had a great time out there, and like you said, raising money for a great cause as well. So it was great, humbling for sure in terms of you know, forgetting just how bad I am at golf, trying to tighten that up a little bit. But it was fun. It was a fun day, and again for a good cause.
What are the strengths and weaknesses of your game these days?
I can hit it a mile. And irons aren't bad. The issue is like those in between shots. So like, I would rather be like 150 yards out than like 30 yards out, if that makes any sense. I just have zero touch and feel, and putting is not a strength, to put that lightly. Yeah.
Okay. So we make for a good best ball team, 'cause I'm not long off the tee, but I got a deadly short game. So if you just set me up, then we're good to go.
All right, perfect. I love that. The problem was me and McCarthy didn't have really anything going. So it was a long day. It was much like the Patriots season. It was a tough watch all the way around. Yeah.
Nice. So Massachusetts wise, do you have a specific local track or tracks that you like to play when you do get out there?
Yeah, Wachusett in Central Mass is great. Always love going to Wachusett, and even Green Hill in Worcester is a good time as well.
What are your thoughts from a professional scale with where the tour sits? I had an interesting opportunity where I attended several PGA Tour events before, but I got to go to my first LIV golf event this past weekend and see what that was like up close and personal. It was interesting to say the least, but where do you kind of see this all unfolding? We hear murmurs all the time that they're closer to some sort of agreement, but it's been over a year since anything concrete's happened. What do you think the next like year or two looks like for the PGA Tour and LIV?
Yeah, I would think at some point, like you said, we kind of see that bridge. It was interesting that first year LIV as well. They were in Bolton here in Central Mass. So got to kind of see that whole atmosphere as well. And that was, like you mentioned, it was a completely different vibe. And it did feel like, to your point, like we were going to get something sooner rather than later. And it's kind of gone quiet. But ultimately, I do feel like we're going to see those two sides kind of come together sooner than later at a certain point. It feels like that's kind of inevitable, which means, by the way, we're just going to see what we've seen for like the next decade now that I say that. But
I know, right? You built a little bit of a mush there, are you?
Yeah, exactly. No question.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely have to be sure to link up on the course sometime in the future. And if not, I'd love to possibly see you at TPC Boston. The LPGA Tour is going to be there, and I'll for sure be back for that. I'm loving that the LPGA is bringing an event back to TPC Boston for Labor Day weekend. You think you can get yourself like a roadshow and a Zolak and Bertrand from the clubhouse that week, maybe?
Hey, you know what? We love doing it. So yeah, absolutely. I will make that pitch, and we'll see if we can get that done, because that would certainly be a good time.
Could you imagine a full segment with like Nelly Korda and Zoe just breaking down the game?
Yeah, as long as there's free food, Zoe's in. I know that, so we should be able to make that work. Yeah,
love it. And McCone, we always end with our 19th hole question. So when you do get into one of your favorite clubhouses, what's your go-to order, your meal and your drink you like to have in the 19th hole?
Look, I'm a Bud Light guy through and through, so that's always going to be the drink. And then I don't know. I've been hammering BLTs recently, so that's probably the play.
For sure. BLT and a Bud Light. Classic answer indeed. Tim, thank you so much for hopping on the Course of Life. Appreciate you taking the time, and look forward to listening to you more middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Course of Life podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We've been using Zencastr here since almost the very beginning, as how Alex and I record this podcast from hundreds of miles away. And it provides us with great quality audio that works every time. And it's something that makes Course of Life what it is and has kept us being able to make consistent episodes every week. And now it's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. You log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. You record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. You feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. And have you ever wondered what you actually sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Head on over to zencastr.com/pricing and use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same easy experiences we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. Again, that's zencastr.com/pricing and our promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Zencastr, it's time to share your story. And we're back. Great chat there with Tim. A lot of good minor league baseball in the Boston area. Like, people don't realize whether you're out in Worcester.
Yeah.
Or even, of course, there is a team in Manchester, New Hampshire that I went to several times. The Fisher Cats up there, minor league affiliate with Blue Jays. So a lot of baseball in the area.
Good call out. And always love the minor league baseball experience. You know, it's, you know, one-fifth the ticket price of a big league park. Much more intimate feel. You get a much nicer seat. You really enjoy the in-game experience and the sounds of the diamond. So highly endorse. Shout out to Tim McCone, Worcester born and raised, now making it on 98.5 The Sports Hub. If you enjoyed that interview or anything you've heard recently on the podcast, be sure to like and subscribe right now or wherever you listen to your podcast. And we thank you again for tuning in.
All right, let's head to the back nine of the podcast. Let's talk first about the NHL draft, which was at the Sphere, which was just looked immersively beautiful.
Yeah, and the draft is probably one of the most boring sporting events you could imagine to have happen at the Sphere. But even the Sphere made the NHL draft excitable. It was cool seeing where the players were positioned and seated as well, too, and having them down on the stage floor as well, really obviously making use of that wonderful LED screen in the background. So yes to more sporting events of all forms at the Sphere. Everything is just like 20% more enjoyable if it's at the Sphere. Yep,
it is. And also incoming Quinnipiac freshman, because we got to shout out our Bobcats, Elliot Groenwald, drafted by the Bruins.
That's fun. So, I like that. Already, we got a guy to kind of watch now here. It's the future.
Yep. So there it is. Let's talk about the NBA, because they had their draft as well. And the only headline worth talking about that I honestly also care so little about, it's not even funny. Bronny James to the Lakers. He's going to play with his dad, who opted out of his contract, but is going to get paid a crap ton to stick around still. Do you think this changes the Lakers' chances at all?
No, it doesn't. Actually hurts them, honestly. If you've seen what Bronny James did in his 1 year at USC, there were two or three better players that were draft eligible on his roster that probably should have been picked before him. This is nepotism at its finest. LeBron's agent, Rich Paul, quite literally called every other GM in the league, Mike, and said there is no use to drafting Bronny James. If you do, he will not play for you and will likely go play professionally in Australia and some other league until he can play with his dad. So this has been set up from the get-go. The whole world knew it was the worst kept secret that he was going to be the 55th pick. And yes, the actual headline of what's going to be created on the surface is cool for 30 seconds. Yeah, LeBron James is going to become the first NBA player to ever play with his son. That's cool. But then after that, there's like real basketball games to be won. And this is a real franchise. And this is the Lakers. And there's expectations. And I think people are going to quickly see that Bronny isn't really LeBron's son and doesn't mimic the prestige or prospect level of talent that his father did.
Yep. So there you go. That's our take on it.
That's the Bronny take. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Take. And I would love to be proven wrong, and I'd love to see them be a father-son star duo. Just not seeing it in the cards right off the bat.
That's right. All right, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep, that's right. Food content to end every Course of Life podcast. It's the 19th hole right here at Always End with Food on Instagram. My new venue report before you get to your trip recap was called The Pitch. Check out The Pitch Austin on Instagram. Very cool indoor-outdoor concept. You can scan a QR code and order from three or four different places, Mike, all under the same QR code, same tab. I know you appreciate that. Outdoor seating area with tons of soccer, a stadium attached, great soccer viewing for Austin FC fans, and cool to be outside in 90-something degree weather, but have so many fans and so many misters that you're not hot. That's how you knew they planned for the Texas heat. So it was a joy being at the Pitch this past weekend.
Misters and fans are the way to go. Thankfully, Dollywood had a lot of them when I was there last week.
Nice.
Just all over the place, mistress and fans, which is good because it was hot out there in the sun. And while we were definitely enjoying a couple of the different coasters that we went on, like Thunderhead, which was incredible. Also went on, what was the other one? Like Fire Chaser Express was a lot of fun as well.
I love that.
You end up going backwards at one point on that one. Didn't go on as many coasters as maybe we would have, but that's also because getting old. No,
yep, that's just straight up the point. Yeah,
can't handle quite as many rides as I used to be able to, and not able to do those looping rides like I used to be able to either.
I don't blame you, man.
Get to eat a lot of food when we were there. It was their summer food spectacular thing. So we got a summer food tasting pass, got some of their pulled pork. It was all right. It was for a hot amusement park pulled pork. It was good. What I was told I had to get there was the cinnamon bread. This is what Dollywood is supposedly
known
for.
Cinnamon bread, yes, okay.
It's literally just a sweet bread that they kind of cut, you know, it's almost like a pull-apart style bread, and then they douse it in butter and toss it in cinnamon sugar and then bake it. And we got it with some apple butter on the side. It was good. Was it spectacular? No. It was nothing special to me, but it was still nice. It was good. I thought it was good.
What was the special eat though? Because I saw you went to this deli and you had the sandwich that knocked your socks off.
The next morning, we stopped in Knoxville on our way out to Kentucky for the family reunion, and I'd found this place there called Pachki Deli, which is a Jewish deli in downtown Knoxville, and they had babka muffins. They had loaves you could get too, but we got a chocolate babka muffin, which was spectacular.
Okay.
And then got a lox sandwich on a kolache, on a bialy, not a bagel, but a bialy, which is a little different. It's a little softer. It doesn't have a hole through it. It just has like a divot in the top of it. And it was spectacular. One of the better lox breakfast sandwiches, bagel and lox style breakfast sandwich that I've had in a long time. And I think that if I lived in Knoxville, all my money would go to Pachki Deli, all of it.
Wow. Not Knoxville, more like Locksville. Am I right? Jeez. Yep.
I mean, they had a brisket and egg sandwich as well, which I thought about getting, but decided against it. But just their babka muffins alone, spectacular. Really nice.
Good stuff. Great trip indeed. Check out all those destinations if you're heading through. Lots of travel ahead for the podcast, which we'll be documenting on weeks ahead. We thank you for tuning in. Be sure to like and subscribe now, and we'll see you next week.